Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. I hope you're having a great day as you are listening out there, and we are so glad that you've joined us today. We are in our series, Power for Problems, and we have been looking at different ways that we can overcome our problems, that God has given to us these incredible tools. And so I hope that you have been blessed as we have been talking about how prayer is a significant way that we can overcome problems, that we can deal with problems. Also, we talked about the fact that being present with one another, living in community with one another, is another great way for us to help in our problems. And then also last week, we talked about the importance of giving our gifts as a way to overcome problems. We talked both about gifts like resources and monetary gifts that we give, and we're committed and we're consistent with those. But then we also talked about discovering our God-given gifts and the ways that that helps us to get outside of the problems that we face. And so today, again, in studio with me is our superhero, Pastor of Disaster, D.A. Bennett.
Oh, my goodness. I love this. I think every follower of Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not, is a superhero.
Yes.
And so I appreciate that introduction very much. You know, one of the things I am loving about this series that we're doing is it actually gives me pause when I have problems, gives me some clarity. Mm-hmm. Is there some source of power I can have? Again, prayer is kind of my default, but am I allowing other people to be present with me as we're in the presence of God? Am I getting frustrated because I'm trying to use gifts that I don't have? and in that community, I find people that have those gifts that can help. So this has been a great reminder for me for how we can have power in dealing with our problems.
Yeah, it has been a great reminder for me too. And I love how all of these connect with one another. Just like you said a minute ago, that I mean, being present with others as they're using their gifts and we're using our gifts and we're in prayer together. I mean, it all connects. And that is one of the things I'm excited about today, because this fourth episode is going to help us see yet another way that we can overcome our problems. So as a pastor, one of the things that weighs on me every day is that the fact that there are so many hurting people in the world. I am sure you experience that too. We see them outside our church walls. We see them inside our church walls. Mm-hmm. We see folks who feel totally lost. They don't know how to find their way. We see folks who are struggling with relationships, everything from marriage to your relationships with your coworkers or your siblings or your kids or your parents. I mean, you name it, and we find a way to struggle with it.
Yeah, I mean, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it really, really can. And then I also feel like we see these inner battles that we face. I mean, we fear the future. We are afraid of failure. We have anxiety that, frankly, just comes from living on earth.
Watching the news.
Yeah. Makes us anxious and scared. And so that's why I'm really glad that we're doing this podcast, because I believe that we're all looking for ways to overcome the problems that we face.
Right.
And so I believe that we know, and you and I and our church really do claim this scripture from Paul in Romans 8, where he says, we're more than conquerors through the one who loved us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes.
We can be overcomers. We can be conquerors. And so, again, we've seen how prayer, we've seen how being present, we've seen how offering our gifts helps us with the problems that we face. But then there's something else that I would like to add to this list. And one of the things I love about my job at St. Andrew's is that I get to be involved with our ministers who are in service to others, that people who give of their time, they give of their resources, and the sole purpose of their giving is that they want to be in service to the people in our community, the people around the world, helping to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love how we do that here at St. Andrew's. We have opportunities to be in service every Thursday evening when we go to feed feed the homeless.
Right.
I mean, it's not something we just do on the holidays or, you know, Thanksgiving. It's
or
something
in good weather.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, weather doesn't stop us. Location doesn't stop us. And we find a way to be out there with these friends of ours who truly are our friends. We know them. We know their names. We know their struggles. And so we serve in that way. But then we're also looking for more ways to serve further around the world. We are enjoying the fact that our mission trip, they went to Costa Rica, and how incredible that is that they're having great experiences with that and going to tell us all about what they're doing. And so we don't limit it to just our community. We reach beyond the walls and beyond the lines and beyond the boundaries of all of these different things. And so I think that service really is one of these ways that we overcome our problems. And so when you look at the synonym for service, because I did a little research
here.
I know, right? Aren't you impressed? So the synonyms for service, which is funny because it's more like synonym phrases for service, but are things like act of assistance or a good turn or kindness or favor or a helping hand. I mean, all of these things are good.
Good.
It's really doing something for someone else. And in the Christian context, we really do like to do things for other people who might not be able to do those things for themselves.
Right.
We like to step in and service that way. So I am wondering, Pastor D.A., how has God used serving others as an overcoming force in your life?
Wow. Well, thanks. I'll look forward to seeing if I can come up with something significant to say. When I look at this idea that service is doing something for someone else, one of the things I think of is, as children, one of the most important lessons that we have to learn early on in life is the universe does not revolve around us.
Yes.
You know, maybe we have to share something with somebody that we want to keep for ourselves.
Right.
And in that moment, it might be a small thing, but it begins to teach us and help us to really know life is more than everybody serving me and giving into my selfish desires. And I grew up in an era when rugged individualism was something big in our culture.
Yeah.
American culture likes to venerate the person who conquers all and achieves great things, overcomes great odds to win things. We love to venerate that.
Yeah.
And this was particularly clear in my college years and young adult years. Mm-hmm. That would have been in the 1980s, which was kind of the me decade. Mm-hmm. It was all about me.
Right.
And I think people began to understand and find an emptiness in that. But as I began to, you know, kind of see how people were living and how that affected my life, and would balance that with the teachings of Jesus that, you know, when we think of being Christ-like, if we want to be more like Christ, try this one on. The Son of Man came to serve.
Yes.
Not to be served.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Take a deep breath. So one of the ways that I think God uses serving as an overcoming force in my life is service helps me overcome the cultural narrative that is contrary to what Scripture teaches.
Yes.
And as I serve and give myself to others, becoming more like Christ, it helps me overcome some of those selfish, sinful tendencies within my own life. How about you?
I think that is so good. Yes, I would second all of that. I also feel like in serving others, it really does help me to remember that I'm not alone. It kind of goes back to the being present, because when we realize, again, it's not all about us, and we also realize that you're not the only one that has struggles, you know?
Right.
You're not the only one that has problems. Sometimes it is nice to feel like you're not alone. And not only that you're not alone, but you can also be part of the solution. You know, that God's given you the ability to be a part of the solution for other people. And so I think that is helpful to me when I am serving others. But I love what you say about allowing this idea that Jesus came to serve and that we are to be like him, and that is awesome. So what are some of your favorite ways to serve?
Oh, wow.
What do you like to do?
You know, One of the first things I would say is when I serve, I like to serve as part of a team. I don't like to just, you know, what do I have to do to go off by myself and do this? I really like serving in conjunction with other people.
Yeah.
And I particularly find joy when I get to serve with children.
Yes.
Or youth. For example, every year we have vacation Bible school, and our staff, it's kind of all hands on deck. You know, wherever you need to be deployed in ministry that week, you know, trust our director of children's ministry, Susan, to deploy us in that way.
Yeah.
And I think she's always found a good place for me. I get to go with the sixth graders because we know our sixth graders, they do not like doing all the little pipe cleaner, you know, craft things that they can take home and show mom and dad.
Right.
So we actually put them in mission for that week, and I drive the van. So usually they're eager to work, but they need help getting organized for the work.
Yeah.
And so we can be stocking shelves with food at Skyline so the people can come in and shop. We may be boxing meals at Regional Food Bank or sorting school uniforms at Christmas Connection, any number of things. And so the food bank, we don't have to do this. They're so well organized, you just do what they tell you to do. But when we're at Skyline and we're at Christmas Connection or somewhere and people are like, oh, what do we do and how can we do this? That's one of the ways I can serve to say, okay, let's organize this, and you do this, and you do this, and we'll help to do this. Sometimes we've even made it fun. I remember one year we had a box toilet paper.
There you go.
We were at Skyline. They're like, okay, here's all the bags, and you need two rolls of toilet paper in every bag, and there was a big pallet of them.
Wow.
I guess there were two big pallets of them, and so we made it a contest.
Oh, nice.
Who can get it done the fastest?
And that
was a lot of fun. So one of the things I like is to help that be more efficient. You know, that's using my gifts and service in that way.
Yeah.
But the thing I love is I'm able to engage those students on a level of discipleship. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
How are we helping people? And I think it allows us in that circumstance to kill two birds with one stone.
Right.
And a lot of times when you're serving with people or and I hope we see that we serve with people, not just for people, like you said, with our homeless outreach.
Right.
Those are real people, and we get those you know relationships built.
Yeah.
So VBS is one of my favorite ways to serve. And this may not surprise you. Maybe it did. I don't know. A lot of times when I'm serving, I like to do it behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
You know, you and I are up front on Sunday mornings, and people recognize us and see us. And so one of the things that I think I can do to serve here in the church is when I'm not teaching a midweek class, I really do try to help put away the tables and chairs. I don't see that as beneath me in any way.
Right.
Is it the strength of my gift? Maybe not.
Sure.
But you know, Chad Olson is usually leading that, and I can follow his lead, and I just love serving in that way. It helps me feel good. So how about you? What's your favorite way to serve?
I like that. Well, you know, I really enjoy serving when I get to do it with my family. Like, I think that's really special, and seeing, like you're saying, intergenerational kind of things going on. I remember, oh gosh, my young girls who are now 12 and 13, when they were probably kindergarten and first grade, the first grader, Callie, came home and she said, Mom, I really want to start a club. And I was like, oh, no, I got to have that.
Another commitment.
Right. But then I was also thinking, I got to have this talk with her that we really shouldn't have clubs. We don't want to exclude people. You know, I'm thinking like the girls club or something like that. And before I can get my mom, you know, talk out of my mouth, she says, yeah, I really want to start something called the Kids Care Club, where any kids who want to get together and we help care for other people. And I thought, oh, that's good. Yeah. Score. Yeah.
Thank you, God, for teaching me a lesson in humility.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so for a few years there, when the girls were in elementary school, we did this Kids Care Club, and we got together once a week, and we did stuff that was needed in the community, everything from pulling weeds to, you know, putting together packages for the kids at the OU Children's Hospital. I mean, we did all kinds of things, but it was really fun to watch kids of all different ages and then the parents be involved in that together. And I just love it when we're able to do it with different generations, because right. everybody brings something different to the table. And again, helping us to realize, hey, you're not alone in this. We're in this together. And I just think that that's cool. Really cool. So since we talked about gifts last week and discovering our God-given gifts, how do you think that service and gifts complement each other? How's that go together?
That's a great question. I actually kind of want to address something I'd hoped to address last week and forgot about, you know, how do we discover our gifts?
Yeah.
And again, I said last week, we don't discover our gifts and then go do ministry.
Yeah.
We discover our gifts in the midst of doing ministry, or we discover our gifts when we're serving. And one of the things I think that happens, and you touched on this last week, is when we're working, when we're serving out of our giftedness, it feels natural.
And I
think a good question to ask ourselves is, what am I good at doing?
Yeah.
And do I enjoy it?
Somehow
we think just because we're serving, we need to be miserable.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's it. Years ago, I felt the Lord leading me. The church was doing a study, and he said, you've got all these unchurched people in your life. I want you to lead a group in your home, and you invite all those people. And, of course, I was glad to do that.
Yes.
But at the same time, when Robin and I talked about it, she said, I want this family to help us because they're really gifted at hospitality.
Oh.
If there's someone that can help make these other people feel welcome, that will be it. And so for us, it's like, oh gosh, we got to clean the house, we got to make snacks, we got to you know, do all this. And we would have overlooked something.
Yeah.
And so again, serving with other people, being present in that community, help. And
so
the other
good thing
I would say is sometimes people will recognize gifts in us.
Yeah.
And that's how we learn what our gifts are. Years ago, Robin took Disciple Bible Study, and at the end of Disciple 1, the group actually affirms what gifts they see in each other. And for Robin, it was teaching. And she did not see herself as a teacher at all.
Wow.
But, you know, some 25 years later, she continues to teach either adult Bible studies or children's Bible studies.
So
that's how she got kind of squared away in her gifts. So how does service complement that? Okay, so the first thing is, let's know what our gifts are. The second thing I would say is, it kind of feels like a bit of a byproduct of our culture.
Yeah.
We like things to work efficiently.
Oh, yes. All right.
You know, that's one, again, that always impresses me about the regional food bank.
Yeah.
And so when we use our gifts in service, I don't think we're miserable. And we work more efficiently.
Yes.
Let me give some examples, and I hope I can say this in a way that makes sense. A few years ago, We lost our church secretary. You know, Sam had been our secretary for a number of years. She retired, and you know, we got to replace Sam. We love Sam. She was so good at her job. And so I knew what was going to happen. We were going to advertise that we were looking to hire a secretary, and we were going to get all these resumes, and I was going to look at all these resumes, and they were all going to look the same to me. I was not really going to be able to pick out what was a good resume and what was a bad resume. However, we have people in our church that are HR people.
Yeah.
That is their gift.
Yeah.
They know what to ask. They know what to do. And so I said, hey, would y'all be willing to go through all these resumes and pick out a couple that you think are people we need to interview? And at that point, they were like, duh, you know, that is our wheelhouse. That's where we can hit a home run. So they use their gifts in service.
Yes.
And then they could bring them to me, and I was able to bring my gifts to the service and saying, okay, so out of these people that we've selected, I will know who probably has chemistry with our staff that we can work together. So I think gifts and service work well, particularly in the context of community. When when people have a gift and you give them opportunity to serve, I think most of the time people are willing to step up to the plate and say yes.
I agree with you. And that's so interesting, too, as we think of the life of our church. And what I mean by that is the vitality of our church. So I think growing, thriving churches have people who are willing to use their gifts in service to Christ. I mean, that's one of our mottos is that we are, you know, we're going to do that.
Right.
And so, so I think too that I love this thought about efficiency that you were talking about, because I feel like the church overall right now is somewhat limping along. You know, it's kind of, sometimes it limps into the future. And if our ministers and all of us would step up and say, I'm going to use my gifts in service to God, then I think it would cause the wheels of the church to start moving in a way that it is incredible and gains momentum.
Right.
And then we are working efficiently, but we're also working to bring people into the kingdom. And, you know, this idea that you don't have to be miserable when you serve, that is so godly true to me, because God has given us these gifts. He wants us to serve one another. And when we do that, I think we find the kind of fulfillment that really overcomes our problems.
Right.
You know, you find that internal, you fulfill that internal need that God has given to us to find meaning in life and to do the things that that cause us to feel like we have purpose and value, because we do.
Right. If we talk about, you know, my favorite ways to serve, and I talked about midweek and liking to help put tables and chairs away. I like doing that, but I have to be honest, that's not really my giftedness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my giftedness is to be in a classroom teaching.
Right,
That's what God has gifted me for.
Yeah.
But I find great joy knowing that there's a job that needs to be done, mm-hmm. and I can help with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not all put on one or two people every week so that it becomes a burden. I can help and find joy, even if it's just for a few weeks.
But for a little bit of time. Exactly. I love that. So for those who are not comfortable with typical service opportunities, like maybe we've got somebody listening out there who's thinking, okay, I have been struggling with a problem. I'm listening to this podcast series because I want to know how to overcome my problems. But when they think of Christian service, they think of, you know, going to the hottest place in the world and sweating and whatever. And so, but also feeding the homeless, which causes people to get outside of their comfort zone. Like for some people, that's kind of scary. Or, you know, offering their home to people who, you know, need somebody to be hospitable, or start a small group, or any of the things that you could do to serve. But for somebody listening, they may be saying, those typical service opportunities scare me because they're outside of my comfort zone. So what words of wisdom do you offer for folks who find themselves in that situation?
I love the way you ask this question. To me, this is such a great question. Mm. To stop and think, what is a typical service opportunity? And some of the things that people, I think, automatically think of is, oh, I got to teach Sunday school.
Right.
Oh, you know, I got to. And it's terrifying. It's not just outside people's comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I would say it's in their panic zone.
Yes.
You know,
That's
so true. So if someone's thinking, you know, outside comfort means panic.
Yeah.
No, we don't want people to go to the panic zone.
No.
You know, maybe the risk zone. That's okay.
Right.
Service can be risky,
mm-hmm.
But we don't want people to panic. We really want people to find joy in what they do.
Yeah.
And people find joy in different ways. So the whole idea of typical, I understand that can cause great anxiety in people. So when I think of this question, my first thought is maybe as the people of God, maybe as a church, maybe even just here at St. Andrews, we need to revision what service means.
Mm.
That we need to, you know, it's not just this typical stuff.
Yeah.
There's some atypical stuff too. Because I think service has many appearances.
Mm-hmm.
It can be working with the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would thrive at that. Other people, you know, panic.
Right.
Maybe it's visiting the hospitals. Maybe it's visiting the homebound. Maybe it is leading children or youth or adults in discipleship.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like our mission team's going to do. You're going overseas to do some work. It's just a short-term thing. And maybe you're building a school. Maybe you're building an orphanage or a clinic. Some people, service could just be counting the money that comes in the offering plate on Sunday. Or maybe it's going into the worship center and making sure we have offering envelopes and welcome and prayer cards and those kind of things. So I want us to kind of revision what that means. I've often said, if someone said, I can't do anything but laundry, you know, midweek we have tablecloths that we need to wash. So that's you have a gift that you can offer in service to Christ. And that's the culture we're trying to create. Yeah. That's, you know, the thing that I've really done. If you're listening to this and you're not a part of St. Andrews, one of the things that you may you know, think I'm insane about is I really don't like to use the word volunteer around the church. You know, it's the V word.
I can't believe you just said that word.
I know. It's awful. Because the work of ministry is not done on a voluntary basis. Mm. It's done by people that are called to do it. And God calls people into ministry, and ministry is done by ministers. Yeah. So when we think of how do we serve? You know, well, I do it because I'm called by God. Yep. I am gifted by the Holy Spirit. We go on to say we're ordained in baptism. That's another podcast.
Right. Right.
But I offer my gifts in service to Christ.
Yep.
And so I think there are many ways to serve within our comfort zone.
Yeah.
God's going to call us in different ways, and God will stretch us and challenge us outside our comfort zone, and that's when we have to learn to take that step by faith to trust God to use us in those situations. So those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I just think that's really, really good. I love the idea of revisioning what service means. I also think that for anybody out there who is thinking to themselves, okay, maybe I'm going to try this service thing as a way to overcome my problems and get through these obstacles that I'm facing, then I would suggest that you reach out to me, you know, reach out to Pastor D.A. Let us walk you through what might be your ways of serving. If you don't attend St. Andrews, then reach out to a pastor that's near where you are and talk to people, because I think that is going to help to clarify those ways that you can serve. The other thing is that with our discipleship pathway that we launched at the beginning of the year, one of the things on that discipleship pathway is that we determine our gifts. We're going to do gift inventory.
Right.
So we're going to start offering that at St. Andrews. So if you don't have a clue what your gift is and how you might best serve, then we're going to help you identify some of that. And, you know, the verse that keeps coming back to me is the importance of delighting yourself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And as we serve Him, it really is a delight, and it is it's within who you are. It's within your soul to do this. So what else would you offer to us before we go?
I'm so glad you asked. There's one other thing I thought about, and that is, let's not confine the idea of service to the church.
Yeah, yeah, amen to that.
You know, when there are places in the community that I'm involved in, and I know the fact that I'm a pastor, that I carry that reputation of Christ with me into whatever that situation is, you do the same thing. But I think there are so many ways it can be served outside of the church. The one I think of, because it's been my experience and kind of near and dear to my heart, is like Little League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, my boys played baseball, and I understood that by helping coach their teams, that I was influencing, number one, some young boys that may not have a church home.
Yeah, exactly.
And in turn, being able to minister to those families. So service should not be confined to just within the walls of the church. So
you
have any
good
final thoughts, closing thoughts?
I appreciate that, because you're exactly right. That helps to even expand our idea of what service is. And you know, as you all listeners are facing problems, I really do want you to know, and so does Pastor D.A., that you are not alone in this.
Amen.
And we, as a church family, are here to help, but we also want to put tools into your hands to help you know ways that you can overcome your problems. And God is with you, and He's with you in these things, and the way we offer our prayers and being present with one another and the gifts He's given to you and the ways that you serve. So I hope that you will remember that as you go forth this week. Every step is a step forward, so continue that forward momentum and make sure that you are walking with the Lord and allowing Him to be your steering wheel. Friends, we will look forward to seeing you sometime here at St. Andrews. I hope that we get to see your face. Our services are at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50 every Sunday morning. You can find us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live at 8:15 or 10:50. And again, we are in the middle of our midweek classes. If you haven't had a chance to join us in that, then I hope that you will come on Wednesday nights. We have a community meal at 5:30 and then missions and or class opportunities at 6:30. So join us for that because we'd love to see you there as well. I hope that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you next time.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.